intro in? It's a little bit.
Yeah, it might not be the show.
Take two. We need to do that again. We need something a little bit.
That's the thing is,
with a little more zest.
You never know. We're talking, but you never know when the show's going to start.
Well, I think for this specific
episode,
this needs a zesty start because we're talking about a zesty topic.
All right, give me a zesty start.
A zesty start. Oh, geez, now the pressure's on me. I think this is pretty zesty because we're using the word zest.
Okay.
What is zestier than the word zest?
It might or might not be the show. We'll find out.
I will find out. You will probably know before I will.
I probably will. I'll probably know in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Have we podcasted solo together?
I think the only time we ever podcasted solo together was that one Criterion Close-Up short take on Night and the City.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Boy, that's,
since then, you've had a buffer with me.
So yeah. Yeah.
That shows how well that episode went.
I can't get rid of you now.
No.
Was that your first podcast?
That was my first podcast. You were my introduction to podcasts.
Wow. Okay.
And we haven't talked since the live episode.
Yeah, we haven't. Yeah. So that was a couple months ago. Oh, okay. I guess at some point the show started.
Yes.
Hi, Dave.
Dave
Eves, everybody. So this, and there's going to be Jessica Ramos, Dave Eves' fiance. Is that fair to say?
That is completely fair to say. It's accurate.
The status. So she was going to be on, but she was sick, and so she can't make it. So her presence will be felt. I think you'll probably speak for her a little bit because she is.
I will.
This episode is in her wheelhouse. This is Arrow Video, horror. Yeah, we'll get into all that. But do it wrong. Have her like the stuff that she, like Hard to Be a God, which is something she would not. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. No. She loves that movie. She's seen it dozens of times.
Okay. All right. So anyway, if you haven't noticed, this is not Criterion Now, regardless what your podcast thing says, it is now Arrow Now. So we're not going to talk about any Criterions, which is kind of unfortunate because I got sick too. I had to cancel a show 2 weeks ago and I was going to try to do another one last week, but I got nasty stuff and just couldn't. You can't podcast when you're sick. Did you know that, Dave?
I did actually know that. Using your voice is quite difficult when you're not feeling well.
Yeah. Also, it kind of sucks to think and all that stuff. You know,
that too. You kind of just want to sit back and let the world flow in instead of you putting anything back out.
But it is nice to watch movies. So you like to consume but not create.
Exactly.
So hopefully Jessica is doing her share of consuming right now.
I'm sure she is.
This is actually the first time since we launched the show that I've gone 2 weeks without doing a show. So there's a ton of Criterion stuff.
What did you think I was going to listen to during my morning commute? It's been a drought. There's other podcasts I listen to as well, but I've been clearly missing out on the Criterion Now.
Sorry, yeah. You can blame germs, I guess.
I will. I think we should launch a war on germs and how they impede our podcasts.
So sorry to you and sorry to everybody else. 2 weeks, but next week we'll be doing a big catch-up episode where we'll just kind of run through all the Criterion news. And there's been a lot, so we have a lot to talk about. And by then we'll have new releases as well. So yeah, that'll be a big episode. But now we're going to focus on what we originally planned to focus on. Because we thought, oh, there's probably not going to be much Criterion stuff to talk about. So let's talk about Arrow. But let's do it anyway. Dave, since we have you and we're on the show, do you want to just warm up and talk about what you've been up to?
This is the first podcast in a while that I've done where I'm not talking about Ingmar Bergman. Because Ingmar Bergman does not have any films on Arrow Video.
That's right.
But I did an episode of Wrong Reel talking about Bergman's summer movies, and I was on John Lobinger's podcast, Film Baby Film, talking about Sawdust and Tinsel.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you haven't heard either of those, you should go out and listen to both of them as soon as this podcast is over.
Not during. That would be very, very annoying.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I actually did not get a chance to listen to either. So, but I love Sawdust and Tinsel. That's an underrated Bergman.
Very much
opinion.
So. I think that's my favorite Bergman before The Seventh Seal.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So favorite before he really broke out. Bergman.
Exactly.
I think that's fair. I think it's a very, very underrated gem.
I agree. I feel weird because most of my favorite Bergmans are the ones that Sven Nykvist was the DP for, and he was the DP on that one. So poor Gunnar Fischer, he's not getting any
guy.
Love from
yeah.
me.
I think Sven kind of took over around 57, and I don't think they looked back, but I know you probably know better than I do.
Or well, 1960. Same thing. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been sick. I've been sick and watching a lot of movies, and some of them I don't remember. Yeah, it was a pretty bad one, but yeah. So that's really it. We were going to go out of town, but I was sick. So yeah, it sucked. Sorry. So that's what I've been doing is getting over this cold. But I think I'm over it now. The last few days have really turned a corner. So that's a week and a half. It was a bad one.
You had to convalesce during that cold.
I did. And the crazy thing is my flu shot was this past Wednesday. And I'm like, all right, thanks, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So finally I get my flu shot. Might be too late. But anyway, so we're going to talk about Arrow Video today. So we'll talk about the history, our favorites. So we're basically going to just turn over the Criterion Now format into Arrow Now and just kind of use that as a springboard into talking about Arrow Video. Of course,
and to geek out about it.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be an episode if we weren't geeking out about it.
This is true.
But we'll get into the history of the video of Arrow Video. We're going to do short takes on Arrow Video, and we'll talk about one title, which is going to be Kiyoshi Kurosawa's Pulse, rather. Kurosawa.
You finally got that one name right, so you have to say it whenever you get a chance.
I've always had his name right. I guess I want Kurosawa just did not do very well, and wanted to give him his due. I think he's making ramen somewhere. So that's going to be the show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope people will enjoy it. So, and I think a lot of people don't know Arrow Video. So I think this will be a nice introduction to something that's kind of like Criterion, kind of not, but cool in the same way Criterion is. Would you agree?
I agree. I think it'd be very interesting to know, like, of your listeners, of the Criterion diehards, who amongst them is also an Arrow Video fan. Because I found in my experience there's really two types of movie watchers and movie collectors that are keeping, like, these boutique labels alive and thriving. And it's classic film and horror film. And, I mean, Arrow Video does both, but their big thing is this cult cinema. And I know that there are a lot of people out there, like myself, that do both, like, classic and horror. But I wonder how much other overlap there is.
Yeah, well, and there is some horror in Criterion too. Mm-hmm. However, it's a different kind of horror. It's not the schlocky. I mean, there's maybe a little bit, like House is certainly schlocky. And I probably the Arrow equivalent of that would be Happiness of the Katakuris, which is more Arrow-ish, but still, I could see some art house with Arrow with House,
and there's some crossover. There's titles that are on both.
And I think that with cult status, and of course, Arrow, Criterion has a lot of cult films, but Arrow, I think that's their bread and butter.
Very much so,
for the most part, cult films, and sometimes bad films or films that weren't appreciated in their time, like Reanimator. Reanimator kind of was not appreciated in its time. I mean, I think people didn't know what to make of it, and I think it became a cult favorite really quickly. And of course, now it's huge. But that's just one of many examples of films that are, I think, looking at them now through a boutique label's lens it's a pretty interesting perspective. And so, shall we get into it?
Let's talk about
some Arrow films. Okay. Well, we'll talk about the history. There's not a whole lot to say. They started in 2009 as a UK boutique.
Well, they've been around even longer than that because they were a film distributor first, so they tore things.
Okay,
similar to how Janus Films does. I think they started that in like the 90s, but they got into the boutique label thing, like you said, in 2009.
I did not know that. Thank you for anything else you have, please inject it.
It's very funny because the history of Arrow Video is in all different places of the corner of the internet. So I think together we have the full story,
right?
But not individually.
And that's going to be probably a running theme through this episode because, there's not one concise history and even release schedule of Arrow. It's all over. So, and we'll kind of talk about where to find that. The Blu-ray label came out in 2009, this was founded mainly by Fran Simeone. By the way, there's a lot of drama with this label too, which we might touch on.
Some of this might be foreign to me, so I'm curious to listen and find out more of it.
Yeah, it's kind of juicy, some of it. But and Fran, I he seems kind of younger. I don't know how young he is. So I don't know the connection between the theatrical arena and how that became Arrow Video. I'll put an interview up from when they went to Arrow US, where he kind of briefly talks about the origins, but and basically how he started a film for his own taste, really. So can you expand on the theatrical element?
Not beyond that. I'm pretty sure that they started out kind of being something like I said, like a Janus Films, because obviously they also have their Arrow Academy label. And I think they really started as more of an art house thing that, like you said, then expanded into more cult stuff. Because, and like he, from the interviews that I was reading, it sounds like the whole reason that he started the Arrow Video label is because he missed the heyday of like 1980s, going to the video store, picking out a horror movie just because the cover was glorious and amazing. And he was tired of these really crappy transfers, really crappy photoshopped covers for these movies that don't get enough love as it is.
Some of them are atrocious.
Oh, goodness. And a lot of these, like, cult films either weren't getting seen in the light of day, never were on any other format other than VHS. I know that there are some crazy people out there that feel that VHS is the best format for these horror films.
Sure.
But I myself...
enjoy it.
I want to see a movie where more money was probably spent on the restoration than was spent on the movie itself.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And I think we're alike in that. We grew up during the video era, and we're both into horror, and of course we're both into art too, but, and there's a little of both, as we mentioned, and we'll get into further, but I do have fond memories, kind of like Fran, of walking into a video store, looking at the, you know, I want to see a horror movie. It's October, it's Friday the 13th, which we just had, you know, I want to see something gross and terrible, turn my brain off and just let it wash over me, even if it's going to be, you know, we know it's going to be horrible as far as film quality.
or if you're Jess, it could be any day of the year because that is her thing. Like, hey, we're in the video store. Let's look at the horror section. It's Valentine's Day. All right, let's watch let's watch a Valentine's Day horror movie.
My Bloody Valentine.
Exactly.
So yeah, so that's a great analogy. Is that Arrow basically has become that video store horror line? In fact, I was in a video store in Toronto. There's not many of them left. I think you have one. And and of course there's no video either. It's all Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And some DVD. But the horror section was basically Arrow Video, which I thought was pretty cool. And in fact, I bought one there just to support them. I bought the stuff while I was there. And I overpaid for it, but that's okay.
I feel like Canada has a lot more of the UK titles as well. At least Amazon.ca has a lot more of the UK titles. So I don't know how that relationship is.
And this was
regional players are more common there.
This one only had US titles, but
gotcha.
And that's a good distinction. So buyer beware, Arrow Video is a UK company, and we'll get into the US part, but a lot of their releases, in fact, some of their better releases are UK only. So if you don't have a Region B player, you might not be able to play their discs, so don't listen to the show and say, I decided to buy Videodrome Limited Edition. Of course, you're going to pay for that.
Yeah.
But
and they're actually one of the reasons that I went region free, because I had a not so region free player. Then I bought a few from one of their annual sales, and they wouldn't work on my sort of region free player. So I decided I need to go fully region free. I need to be able to watch Audition.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one too. They are. Them and Masters of Cinema and BFI, those are the three that really prompted me to go region free, and I have not looked back. I mean, even if it was just Arrow, it's worth it.
I agree.
I've gotten so much joy from just Arrow, and of course we'll get into that a little more. I saw in one. So first off, they were primarily horror. You know, they were overlap. There's like. There's Argento. They've done some of his films. I don't know which ones were the earliest. There's been some Brian De Palma, so I guess he's kind of thriller / art house. But then there's also your 80s schlock. I probably should have pulled some of their first releases. I don't have them.
I don't have what their first UK releases were. I have their first American releases, only because, like we've said, there's a lot of missing information out there in terms of their history, which is funny because it's only within the past, 8 years?
I know. And during the internet age, actually, this might be a symptom of the internet age, is that everything's all over the place.
And, yeah.
You can't find, you can, there's too much information for you to find.
Yeah. Hold on. So, let me see if I can pull up what their first U.S. releases were. Because I know one of them was Mario Bava's Blood and Black Lace.
Well, that was one of the first U.S. releases.
Actually, yes, that's what I meant. Did I say UK?
Right. And that one actually was delayed for like a year, the U.S. version. The UK was, and so, and that's actually another thing. Some of their UK releases are region-free. Blood and Black Lace is a great example because that one was region-free. And even though the U.S. release was tied up in some rights negotiations, or I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, I bought the UK one and it played fine, and I didn't have a region free play or region B player at that time, and so they're, because of that horror angle, I've seen them called the Criterion of shit movies. So if you Google the Criterion of shit movies, you'll probably find Arrow,
and probably something you don't want to see.
Probably something you don't want to see. You, that's a Salo joke. Should
that is the Criterion of shit movies.
That's the shit movies of Criterion.
There you go.
So anyway, so they give the Criterion treatment. TLC, they love these movies. Fran, you know, it's his passion. So he started this label to basically give them their fair due. So you'll have an 80s film, sometimes a bad 80s film, and you'll have like interviews. You'll have behind the scenes. You'll have visual essay kind of deal things. Yeah, so it's basically like Criterion, and some have more than others. You'll get box sets, you'll get limited edition.
They do limited edition a lot more than
they do.
Criterion does. I feel as though most of the Steelbook boutique labels other than Criterion will have these things like, hey, there's only 2,000 copies of this, and for the hesitant buyer, it sucks, but if it's just like, I need to get this right now, and I have stuff on my shelf that I haven't even watched yet because I've seen them recently, but I needed that limited edition.
Yeah, and so they'll do like 2,000 or 3,000 copies of something, and then what they'll do after that is they'll split it off, and they'll release the discs individually. So it's not like, if you don't buy this super shiny steelbook case, you're not going to get the movies.
But
most of the time you will. But
obviously, I want the super shiny limited edition case. I'm still kicking myself for missing out on Battles Against Honor and Humanity.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And that looks like such a nice set.
It's not as shiny. That's a big block.
Yeah, I like the bricks.
Yeah, I do
too. I like
too.
Something I can build
too.
A house with.
And so I think they kind of tap into that same collector mentality that Criterion does. Now, they don't have spy numbers, but and in fact, I think the aftermarket is probably better for some of their limited editions than,
sure.
I don't know, the aftermarket's pretty damn good for the out-of-print Criterion.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a tie. So they have two lines. They have the Arrow main line, which is generally, would you say, horror for the most part?
I'd say, there's a list of all the things they kind of cover that I just went back from, but they do mostly horror, Euro crime. They do spaghetti westerns. I'm not as interested in the spaghetti westerns. You see a lot of Japanese thriller crime, like Yakuza gangster movies.
Yeah, the cult films.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that just kind of were unseen. Like a big thing about them, I think, that's distinctly British is this idea of like the video nasties. Are you familiar with like the video nasties of the 80s?
No.
So in the UK in the 80s, when all of the amazing horror movies were coming out in the US, I think it was some sort of minister of like decency or something said like these horror movies are a threat to the public consciousness, so we're banning them because they're too violent or they need to be cut down drastically. And the only thing that did was create more interest in young people for these really bloody films. And some of them really aren't even that bad. So
like
they
the
became
Fulci's?
Like, no, it was mostly cause I guess there were probably some, I think, what was the most, I probably something like New York Ripper was one of the, was always on the video nasty list, I'm sure. So definitely Fulci. But,
yeah.
Suddenly all these kids now wanted to find these video nasties. They needed to be seen because if they're so violent that the government doesn't want you to see them, obviously I need to see them. So
yeah.
Now that culture is more celebrated there.
Okay. And also there's pure cult movies. Like, for example, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. That's mm-hmm. kind of a cheap, or what's that Kurt Russell, Big Trouble in Little China? That was Arrow, right?
You know what? If it is, that's just a UK release, because I have not
seen that. I do own that. I sometimes they blend together, and I might accidentally cite a Masters of Cinema, although I'm pretty sure that one's not Masters of Cinema.
Something tells me that's Arrow.
But those are two examples. And yeah, they also have done like 80s cult, I guess, coming of age, like that little kind of, not quite pink film, but in that, like, Porky's Last American Virgin. And yeah, I watched those, and they're not that good, but I bought them, boom, you know, just because.
The label?
Yeah, and also because there's a story behind it. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious how they put that in perspective. You know, hey, you had a lot of teenagers that wanted to see some boobs on the screen. So, and
here
there's
you
not
go.
Many.
Now
there's
they're in HD.
Yeah, here you go.
And I feel as though as time goes by, you see a lot more mainstream releases. Like they have A Fish Called Wanda. I think it just came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would consider that a very non-cult, non-horror comedy.
I would agree. Yeah, and actually that's a good segue into Arrow Academy. So Arrow Academy, and I don't know when, because again, there's no great history on the internet, but I don't know when this sub-label started. But basically, the more art house versions of films would released on this Arrow Academy line, and that might be, is that Arrow regular or is that Arrow Academy? I could see that one being both.
It's the Blu-rays are labeled Arrow Academy, but their logo more closely resembles Arrow Films, which was the first part. So something tells me that's why.
Okay.
So someone from within the company decided, oh, let's do Arrow Video, which is like this 80s VHS on Blu-ray, and then let's also put out the things we're distributing theatrically on Blu-ray under Arrow Academy. And it sounds more elevated because it says Academy instead of Video.
Yeah, and I think the idea is that that's more the art house film school type films. I don't know if that one's on there, but I believe Pulse was Arrow Academy, wasn't it?
No, that's Arrow Video. That's got the five color bar at the bottom.
Okay, well, yeah. We'll get into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So
I think you see a lot more. Oh, unless you want me to say this, I would say that you see a lot more crossover between Criterion and Arrow Academy.
We are in lockstep. I was just about to say the same thing. So yeah, and in fact, a lot of the Arrow Academy, the big box sets like Fassbender, they have a big Fassbender box set, which is perfect for Arrow Academy,
yeah.
But I didn't buy it because I have a lot of those are because of the Criterion. However, I did buy the Marriage of Maria Braun, which is one that you can't get.
Yeah, I have that box set sitting on. That was actually one of my first UK releases that I bought, because even though there was a couple on there that I already owned on Blu-ray, I wanted Marriage of Maria Braun. Mm-hmm. There's a few in there that I haven't watched yet that they're probably coming to Criterion because they're all on Filmstruck, but I don't mind owning two versions of some things.
Right. Like Effie Briest is
one.
That, there are a couple that, again, and you know, you don't know what Criterion's doing either. They might, some of these lesser known titles might not get their own spine. They might just keep them on Filmstruck. So, but it is a risk. It's been more than a few times where Criterion's announced a film that I already own. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yay.
Well, I would say the most, not controversial, but within our, like, world, the most upsetting, maybe, was the Decalogue, because Arrow Academy's version of the Decalogue, by many standards, is the better release.
Right, and we'll touch on that, too, but, and I have both. I bought the because the Criterion came out, like, a month before, or maybe mm-hmm. 2 months before the Arrow. And so I bought the Criterion, and then I bought the Arrow because the Arrow is superior. Now, guess which one I watched?
I bet you watched Criterion.
I did, because I got it first.
Yep.
But the one thing about the Arrow, and I've heard it's better, is that it's this, and I forget the technical, it was a PAL scan, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it goes a little faster. So you like for each episode, it's a minute shorter.
Yep. Because it was shot at 25 frames per second, which is the video standard in Europe, because it was made for Polish TV, and U.S. Blu-rays can't display at 25 frames per second, because right. that's not what our voltage or our TVs are set to. So that, and granted, when you're watching it, you're not going to be able to tell a difference, but when yeah. you do an entire feature length, or not quite feature length film with an extra frame per second, it actually goes by much faster. I think it's like a 5 to 10 minute difference between them. Mm-hmm.
I know, yeah. So I guess that's 5-10 minutes. You could be watching some other Arrow or Criterion, so there's
exactly.
that.
And doesn't it also have more Kieslowski's like television works included in that set?
It does. It does. And that's really the reason I bought it. And it's still unopened, but you know, Rainy Day. I have a lot of Rainy Day Arrow releases that we'll talk about.
I have a lot of Rainy Day Criterion releases too.
I have a little of those, fewer of those than I have of Arrow. Mm-hmm. They also have a Nordic Noir line, which I have not bought. That's basically just what it is, what it sounds like, Nordic Noir. I don't know if they get as much activity on that line, but have you tried any of those?
I only first learned about it when I looked at the outline that you created for this episode, which kind of goes into more of the cryptic nature of this boutique label.
Well, yeah, so I see them when I look at their new releases, and again, the calendar is not clear. But
I feel like it's better to track their new releases by following them on Twitter.
Yeah, and Facebook too. Yeah, yeah. Their social media is very comprehensive.
Yeah,
yeah. Nordic Noir and Beyond. So it's basically TV and film from Scandinavia.
So is it like Insomnia? That's like the only Nordic Noir I can think of.
It's like that, but you haven't heard of any of these, so there might be good films. In fact, if anybody knows any Nordic Noir recommendations that are must-own, let us know. I'd love to know those. They also had a deal with Second Run DVD, and mm-hmm. now they don't own Second Run DVD, and you might be a little more clear on this. Again, it's a little muddy, but Second Run DVD is a competitor, really. It's another UK label, but not as big as Arrow. I think Arrow's probably the biggest boutique, would you say?
And I think Eureka would probably give it a run for its money.
It'd be close, yeah. But and there's others. There's Artificial Eye, there's BFI, mm-hmm. and there's probably some mainstream ones that we don't know about because we buy their stuff here. Actually,
exactly.
Probably Studio Canal is a big one.
Yeah. I shouldn't judge. I just bought pre-ordered the Boonwell box that they're putting out, but I'm still
miffed
at them.
I have a lot of it too, and I do hesitate, but I still buy it. So Second Run is another boutique, more art house, and Arrow started distributing their stuff. I believe this was about 6 months ago. Now, I haven't bought many of those. I've seen some Czech films. I mean, I'm listing of Czech films. For example, I'm just pulling it up right now. There's one that's the Czech Adventures or the Fabulous Baron Munchausen, which was Harryhausen. I think that's Czech. Yeah.
Hmm.
Some good films. I think they had The Shop on Main Street, which I believe they called The Shop on High Street or something like that. Different.
Huh.
So anyway, they Arrow has a relationship with them, and here, say something while I Google.
I haven't actually bought any of the Second Run DVDs. My guess, because it seems like Arrow actually works a lot with other boutique labels, so there might be some sort of relationship where Second Run has done some scans for them or vice versa.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if you're as familiar with the U.S. super culty label Vinegar Syndrome.
Of course.
They have done, and I only know this because I've talked with them at some booths at some conventions that I've gone to, because I've noticed that they've been selling some Arrow Video stuff of like U.S. releases at their booth. I'm like, why are you selling these here? It's like, well, we did the scan for this. Like, they did the scan for The Hills Have Eyes. I guess probably because it was
That's
easier. Like, hey, you guys are in the U.S. Can you do this for us? And can you work on the restoration for us? So they're clearly willing to work with other labels out there that I guess they don't see quite as competition. I doubt we'll see an Arrow mm-hmm. Video Criterion collaboration at some point.
But yeah, I think there might have been, now it might not be a collaboration with Criterion, but I think a couple times Arrow has used the same scan as Criterion. Now they might get it from the same source. So the same distributor or whoever owns the rights might sell it to both of them.
Yeah. I'm sure that now that they're also in the US game, the North America game, there's a lot more bidding wars over who gets the rights to something.
Yeah.
Especially since Criterion is also in the UK game as well.
Yeah, and of course we're going to talk about the upcoming releases, but a big one is The Apartment, and that's one I'm sure that Criterion would have wanted. And there's a lot here that they're putting out in the U.S. that I'm sure Criterion didn't have the deep pockets for.
Yeah,
yeah. My Googling was successful, and I found some second runs, and I'll put the list on the website or in the show notes. But it is from the Arrow website, which is funny. and there are some films that we know. There's Daisies, David Holzman's Diary, Divorce, Iranian Style. Actually, there's a little more eclectic. Again, and these are on Arrow's website, so they're selling them. And you probably can get bonus points. You know, and they do have this point system, too. Do you think we should mention that?
Yes. I still don't fully understand how it works, but I have points because I bought stuff from their website before.
Okay. Well, I will talk about the point stuff, and then we're probably going to have to move through the history because there's a lot to talk about. So the point system – so I will not buy Amazon UK for Arrow ever, because the point system is when you buy from their website – every dollar you spend or every pound you spend is a point. Even U.S. titles, I'll buy from the Arrow UK store and have them shipped overseas. And so, you know, just and it doesn't take a long time to accumulate a few points. My only suggestion is don't use your points to buy titles on sale. Instead, you want to use your points, or actually you definitely want to pre-order from Arrow because you get double points for stuff on sale. So every now and then there'll be a box set I'll pass up on, but then I'll notice I have like 50 points and I'll think, okay, well, you know, it's time for me to get a free box set. So it really does pay off.
I need to change my method of buying Arrow video stuff because I am not utilizing my points correctly.
Well, I'm glad I steered you in the right direction.
Thank you.
The other thing is Arrow's service is tremendous. And now Amazon is too. I'm not going to knock Amazon. They've taken good care of me. But I had an instance where I bought the same thing twice. And oops. And I know that's a very me type of problem. And I contacted them. And I was like, oh, crap. And, you know, it's a UK. It's going to ship overseas. It's pounds, dollars. It's complicated. So they were willing to actually just refund me the exchange, whatever the rate was, or give me points for the release. And what I ended up doing is I ended up saying, you know what, I'm going to keep it and just sell it to Mark Herney. So Mark and I worked that out. But anyway, the big transition, and I think this is really when they blew up, is when they ventured into the U.S. market. And they did this with an Indiegogo campaign. Did you participate, or were you?
No, I actually didn't really learn about Arrow Video until after they hit the North American market. That's kind of how I myself was introduced to them, by seeing, I think it was probably right when they launched it, suddenly they were a little bit more present on the internet. And yeah. I was like, ooh, these look good. I got to get these. These look like a Criterion for horror films.
Yeah, so that's what they were at that point. It was a lot more horror films, and there were a lot of films I didn't know. And I do like horror films, but like the initial five releases, you know, were stuff that I wasn't really itching to buy, like Massacre Gun, Day of Anger, Retaliation, I think was one of them.
I still, the only of those first five U.S. ones that I have is Blood and Black Lace. Because the spaghetti westerns, I'm sorry, they're not like... not going to be super interested in those.
Yeah, I dig some of those. But so anyway, they put up this Indiegogo campaign, and I'll put the link in the show notes because it's great to see it now in hindsight, because if you plop down $2,500, you would have gotten all of the Arrow US titles for 10 years. So I wish I had the foresight to know what they were going to become. And this was only a couple years ago. So you have 8 years of all this great stuff.
Holy moly. What a deal.
I know. The thing is, I mean, is there ever a time where it's easy to just say, okay, $2,500, why not?
You know what, if Criterion did something like this, where it's just like, hey, help us out, spend $2,500, you get the next 10 years worth of releases, I would do it.
For sure, that would be an investment.
Yeah.
And if I knew that Arrow was going to become what they were, I would totally have done it. I regret not doing it. I haven't done the math to see if that if you would recoup your investment by now. I think you probably would have.
They do not put out as many things as Criterion does, especially for the US market. You only might get one or two things a month. So let's I'm going to do some quick math here while we podcast. Let's say they put out two things a month times 12 times 10 years and divide that by
And some of those are box sets, like The Apartment is, you know, that's coming out in the U.S. and that, or and The Reanimator that came out in the U.S. and that's like selling for almost $100. So yeah, I'm really throwing off your math here.
No, you would have if they only put out two releases a month for 10 years in the U.S. market, you totally would have made your money back, because then you would have only been spending like $10.50 per release.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So,
and they typically sell for twice that. So,
if anybody actually got in on that, I want to know who you are, and I want to pat you on the back for being so cool to fund this. So they did reach their funding. I think they funded over $100,000, and this was actually just to prove the market to see if there's enough interest in Arrow US to start it. And I think they had plans to launch an Arrow US website. That hasn't happened.
They need to launch a new website. In general, not to judge, but their website's a little little rough.
Arrow,
rough to navigate.
If you're listening, I'm sure they know, but Arrow, I think it is time to think about a new website. But
Arrow, if you need help getting a new website, call me.
Yeah, Dave is your man.
I'm your man.
So that's a good another good segue. It's tough to find out about Arrow, so I think the social media is a great way. As you mentioned, but for a while, Blu-ray.com had threads, and the Criterion Forum might have some. I didn't check before the show, but I don't go there as much as I go to Blu-ray. But Blu-ray had threads where they would post all the new releases. So basically, you could go to an Arrow thread, and the first few pages of that thread, they would you'd be able to see everything that they've ever come out with and everything that's coming. And I'll put those threads in the show notes.
I'm going to have to look at those threads. For a while, I was just going through searching Arrow and adding Arrow Video US releases to my Amazon wish list just so I could more easily track them.
There's one for UK and there's one for US.
Mm-hmm.
Problem. It hasn't been updated since July.
Oh, dear. There's been a couple things that have come out and have been announced since then.
Yeah. And so, in fact, I think the last one I saw when I looked at the thread this morning was coming soon, Pulse. So, shit.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, that has a very interesting history because that kept getting delayed.
It did, yes. And their stuff does get delayed, and they have some delays for the stuff coming up. I think they probably need some work on the business function. There's a lot of – they got a lot of grief with the Hellraiser. They posted that was the UK, the Scarlet Box, but it was not going to arrive in time for Halloween because of delays. So on their Facebook, it was like people were so mad. I can't believe it was that important, but people were like, I wanted to watch this on Halloween, you know, curse you and your mother. And it was, so I came to their defense a few times. And of course, you know, that didn't, you know, how
I'm sure that's not going to go well. Trying to argue with the internet masses is never a great idea.
It was basically like replaying the election of last year, on Arrow Video, Blu-ray people that want their discs. And
so people that are only slightly more agitated.
Yeah. No, it was pretty close, actually. People were mad.
And on that topic, I'm pretty sure they've delayed their release of The Thing.
They did, yeah.
I have no idea, because there's so many different versions of that. I think both you and I have that pre-ordered.
We do, yeah.
So I'm curious to see when it will be arriving. It's going to be a mystery to me.
Sometimes you don't know, and so I want to shelve this till we get to no pun intended, until we get to the releases. But let me talk about the social media some. So I'm going to touch on some of the drama as well.
Okay.
Michael Brook is a freelancer that basically he's kind of like a producer and writer. He's actually written for Criterion. And he wrote on the Fantastic Planet disc. He used to post on the Blu-ray forums like incessantly, and he would post a lot of insightful things. He would kind of tease out their the stuff that's coming. He would talk in depth about their process and actually really just the market, not just Arrow, but even Criterion. I mean, he's really a smart human being, and he has a lot of insight into everything in this boutique world. Then I think somebody pissed him off.
No.
Or something happened and he left. He stopped posting at Blu-ray.com. And that was a big deal. And I kind of stopped reading the threads around that time. I hear he came back, but I don't know if... And he started posting again. I don't know if he still is. He also does post at Criterion Forum. And I think he actually moderates, or he did moderate, I don't know how active he is, some of their threads. So I'll check that later. But yeah, that was helpful. They are on Twitter and Facebook, and what I do is I put notifications for them at the top, so I'll hear. Is that what you do?
I should do that. I usually, just scrolling through Twitter, because I do it so often, will be like, ooh, it's new announcement day for them. Gotta check out later. They're a great follow on Twitter.
Yeah, they are. I'm not as on Twitter as much as you are, so I can't rely on that. I get home, and it's just I have to sift through 1,000 tweets. I probably should put a list with Arrow and maybe some of the boutiques out there.
Yeah,
I'm sure that exists somewhere. So they also have a blog. It's I don't know if it's official, but somebody affiliated with Arrow has put it up there, and it's on Blogspot. It's arrowvideodeck.blogspot.com, and they have introductions of the staff, like Fran, Michael are on there, others. They do the year-end favorites, and I don't know if that's through social media or just blog readers, but that's pretty cool to look at, to see what people like at the end of the year. It tends to be the horror, the popular stuff. But it's not as active. I saw they did have release schedules on the blog, but they're not updated. So there's like maybe five posts from 2013, 2015. And I think there was one earlier this year that probably goes until Pulse. So finding their stuff is really a challenge. And that's actually another segue. You want to move on from the history?
Sure. Let's get into the meaty stuff.
So actually, before we get to the new and upcoming releases, let's talk about our favorites. So that's a little more fun. Is that cool with you?
That's cool with me.
And actually, if you want to speak for Jessica, if you can, that'd be great. But let's first start with Dave. Dave, what's your favorite?
What's my absolute favorite release of theirs?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Favorites.
Favorites. It's funny because I almost think my favorite release of theirs is one that I don't actually own. I've only ever rented it, but I want to buy it. And that's Society, because that movie, I feel like that's the first Arrow Video movie that I watched blind, and it completely blew me away. It is so crazy and so insane.
It's nuts.
And it has a really nice box. I don't know why I haven't bought it yet. I just need to pull the trigger and actually get that on my shelf, because that one's great.
Are you talking about the box with like the protruding?
Oh, no.
Well, I don't want to. Well, it kind of spoils the film a little bit, but.
But I know, yeah, the box you're talking about. Was that limited? Have I missed my chance on that?
You might have. If we weren't podcasting, I'd look it up. But,
oh, no.
Yeah, that's on my list. It's a beautiful box. It's a freaky-ass
beautiful
film. I know.
Depending on your vantage point.
And again, it taps into that 80s schlockiness. So the first two-thirds of the movie are just really a bad horror film. And then the last third is like a gore fest that's just so much fun. It's just a blast. And,
yeah.
And it kind of I think even for the 80s, it kind of ups the ante for gore. Would you agree?
I would agree. It is wonderful in its insanity. It is, I would say it's like a less serious David Cronenberg film in terms of where it goes.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, it's like a crossover between like Cronenberg and, because there is some art in that film, I think, certainly, but, so yeah, somewhere between Cronenberg and say, Craven, maybe.
Okay, I would say that, yeah. I think it's actually a pretty good distinction.
Herschel Gordon Lewis in between.
You know what? I haven't actually seen a single Herschel Gordon Lewis film, but I know that there is a bunch on Arrow, including a gigantic, literally gigantic box set
ginormous. I haven't bought that one because same. I haven't seen it, and I don't know if I'll like it.
I don't have a shelf to put that on. That thing is like literally 10 times the size of a normal Blu-ray.
It's expensive too.
Yeah.
So maybe actually for the our favorites, maybe we'll go back and forth for a little while.
Sure.
Since is Jess on board with Society?
Or do Jess you want to give Society. One for Jess? Likes Jess? Society. I don't know if she lists that as a favorite, but I know that she likes that one.
Okay. Well, I'll say the Hellraiser Scarlet Box is a big one for me. Do you guys have that one?
No. I've only ever really seen the first Hellraiser, and I think it's good, but I was never really like completely in love or wowed by that one. So I've kind of not avoided, but it hasn't been on my radar as one that I need to get.
Yeah, for me, it's a guilty pleasure, but I do think it's still one of the best horror films. And the first one's really good, and it's really gritty. And there's some 80s cheesiness with, like, especially the special effects are, you know, they kind of use the animated special effects that you can, when you see an 80s film, it's like, oh, this, I didn't even notice at the time how shitty this was, but today, you know, with CG, it looks pretty outdated.
Yeah.
But it's I love the movie. I really liked the box. All the extras, they really went all out on this. I think the second Hellraiser is excellent as well, and they kind of go further into hell, and it kind of explores the mythology a little bit. So if you haven't seen Hellraiser 2, I definitely recommend you check that out.
Perhaps I will wait for a good buying opportunity, because I'm pretty sure, because it's weird, my local Barnes & Noble actually has a fair amount of Arrow Video stuff, which is hard to find in store, and they have that box set. So if there's a good sale, I might have to pick that up.
Because I think it's out of print.
Yeah.
They've since released like all these films individually, and I believe some of them actually come out in the U.S.
Okay.
I don't know if all of them, maybe.
Well, if I can't get the box set, I suppose I could make do with some individual releases and maybe skip Hellraiser after two.
Or rent it. And I watched three back a long time ago, and I don't need to watch it again.
No.
There was an error on the Arrow 3. I guess it was a framing error. So there was, they showed like the facade of the set. They showed behind that in the widescreen, so you could see like something holding up the set. So, I haven't watched three, so I haven't seen it yet. But
you know, how many people actually watched Hellraiser 3 to notice that is my question.
Well, enough, because it got noticed, but I didn't notice. I probably should watch it just to see that. All right, you want to go with another favorite?
Sure. I'm going to jump to the Arrow Academy side of things and say their release of Hard to Be a God, which was one that I was really happy to pick up, even though it was an actual region-free release. But I love that movie. And sorry, Kino Lorber, I'm going to pick Arrow over you guys. So I had to go UK for that one, just to get that movie in the
cool
quality that I wanted.
I have that as well. But speaking of being sick, I tried to watch that when I was sick.
Ooh, and not a good fit.
Not a good decision there. That's one thing when you go in blind and you don't know. Yeah, I think I lasted about 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's too many fluids in that movie to watch when you're sick.
Yeah, that was a bad decision on multiple levels. It's also you can't really think about a film. So I was like, okay, it sounded like something I might have enjoyed, but no. Oh, and by the way, we did a Facebook poll in the Criterion Now group. So I'm going to talk about some of the community's favorites as well.
Okay.
So I put down, and this is surprising because I haven't seen this, but I put down the Decalogue because I've seen the movies and they're tremendous. And so I feel like I should list that as a favorite. It's like a favorite one that I've owned, even if I haven't opened it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Decalogue, again, Arrow Academy.
I'd say that counts.
That counts. So do you have one, or do you have one for Jessica? Any?
You know what? She did not make a formal list, so I can't list anything for sure. I know that she loves Giallo, so probably anything Dario Argento. I'm putting Bird with a Crystal Plumage on my list. I know that you're not the biggest fan of that movie because you're crazy, but that one's great. That was a limited edition that I was really happy to pick up because that box set is fantastic.
Yeah, that was an early Argento, so it was more traditional giallo.
That was his first?
Was it his first?
His first film.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't like it that much. But yeah, they pretty much have put out just about everything he's done, I believe. Maybe everything he's done.
I'm trying to think.
Pretty close.
There's a lot more in the UK market that I still want to pick up because I love Argento. Right. The only ones I have are that Phenomena. That's another really good release because that comes with like the Goblin soundtrack and Deep Red. But I unfortunately missed out on the boat of the really amazing limited edition of Deep Red. So I just have the standard standalone release of that.
One they don't have of his is Suspiria. That's a pretty big one. So in fact, that's coming out from another label in the U.S. And I don't know who's handling it in the U.K.
Synapse. Synapse is in the U.S. I'm kind of holding out hope that Arrow scoops that up as well.
I hope so. Boy, it would be disappointing if anybody else got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So that's good. we're really fitting it together well today. So Deep Red was next on my list.
Oh.
I do have that, and it's amazing. And that's, again, the Argento. I think this is closest to Suspiria as far as, like, the art, the aesthetic.
That is my favorite of his
and
movies.
And Goblin.
So,
yeah, it's so fun. There are a couple different cuts, too, and a couple different languages. I never know which languages to go in with
regret with the version of Deep Red that I have is that it only has the extended version. And I prefer the U.S. cut of that movie. I think it moves a little faster.
Yeah, and sometimes that's the case. And on that one, I believe I watched the English version because David Hemmings.
Yeah.
But it was still dubbed. It doesn't matter.
Typically with Giallo, and someone might completely chastise me, I typically go with the English dub for Giallo because it's meant to be watched in either language, really.
Yeah.
And sometimes the English dub can be more fun.
And that's Italian film in general.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Fellini, you're probably pretty safe to watch the English dub.
Yeah, they don't record any sound on set. And most people are mouthing the words in English probably even though they don't know the language.
Excuse me.
Sneezy Aaron.
I know. Makes an appearance. I told you I was sick. I wasn't lying. Yeah, they also have Tenebrae, Inferno. There's another 80s one that I didn't like as much of his. Do you have another favorite?
Another favorite. I'll go back. I did Bird with the Crystal Plumage. I'll go back Arrow Academy and say that Rainier Werner Fassbinder set. Even though most of that's probably going to get a Criterion release, that's just a nice box that's out of print, so you can't enjoy it like I do.
So you own it?
I own it. I was one of the last people to get that probably because it was like we only have a few left. It was one of the Arrow video sales. I said, I'm going to pick it up.
Did they tell you, oh, you're the last one?
They wrote me
congrats.
A handwritten note on with like a quill pen with ink.
And it has
honoring
a golden
me.
Ticket.
It was like a golden ticket. I get to tour the Arrow Video Factory.
Yeah, be careful.
I want to see that movie where people die like horrible giallo deaths in a chocolate factory.
All right. I think we just pitched a movie.
Yeah.
The modern Arrow video, Charlie and the Chocolate. It's Dave and the Arrow Factory.
Dave and the Blu-ray Factory.
That's right. My next one was, and by the way, Scott reviewed the Fassbinder collection, so I'll put that on the, in the link. But speaking of Scott, my next favorite is, Jacques Rivette, the Jacques Rivette collection. They're known for their great box sets, very comprehensive. And so the UK Jacques Rivette is really just tremendous. It has Out One, Duel. It has the different versions of Out One. It has Merry-Go-Round, a whole bunch of, I think, basically all his 70s output, maybe missing one or two.
I was a fool and picked out the North American Out One release, which it's still very comprehensive and it's a very nice box.
Yes.
But thankfully, they put out the North American Jacques Rivette collection, which was everything in that set minus Out One.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Again, they do realize this is a business, and they and so I actually like that. There are sometimes like House, for example, the House set, not Houseu, but the other '80s House.
House and House, the second story.
I don't need to see all five houses, but I might want to revisit House 1. So thank you, Arrow, for giving me that opportunity.
And honestly, I think House 2 is even better than the first one.
All right. Well, what about House 5?
I haven't gotten that far.
All right. See? So maybe 1 and 2 is where I'll go.
Yeah.
And so the only other one I listed was Society. So do you have any others?
Let me turn around and look at my set. I have one that I'll, you know, and I'll just say it, Hell Comes to Frogtown is Ooh. One of the most bonkers movies you can ever see, and it's so much fun. And I'll talk about it a little bit more later.
Oh, cool. Okay. Is that your short take?
That was my short take.
All right. Cool. Well, that's a good time to go to the Facebook poll. So, all right. So the Facebook poll, and I think people in our community do see this, do watch a lot of Arrow movies. It might skew a little bit to the U.S. because I think our listener base is mostly U.S. But yeah, we have a lot of region-free, region B enabled people. I'll just list them in order here. We have Donnie Darko, Decalogue is number two. Donnie Darko was actually pretty far ahead. Well, it was pretty close between those two. And then the next one was The Long Goodbye, which is a great film. I bought both the Arrow and the Kino, and I think I gave away my Kino.
I got to pick that up.
It's good. Well, I say it's good. That's one I haven't watched the Arrow yet. Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. I have The Twilight Time. Again, that's, yeah, so I haven't bought that. Then Hellraiser, The Scarlet Box, Battles Without Honor or Humanity. Feel free to stop me if you've...
Go ahead, because these are all... It's funny, because none of these things I own.
Really? Okay. Well, this is a good reference for people.
Yeah.
Blood and Black Place, which is a good one.
That
I had that steelbook, which is gorgeous. Their steelbooks are really awesome.
See, I got the non-steelbook version because I was anti-steelbook, and I think I'm just starting to come around to the steelbook thing now. So
really?
Okay, regrets.
Yes. Arrow and Masters of Cinema are really what turned me around. The U.S. steelbooks are kind of bad.
Shout Factory, because I have the Shout Factory of They Live, and it's funny because I think Shout Factory is probably the closest U.S. label to Arrow Video without being Arrow Video U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know Shout Factory, just know you're going to get a little bit grungier with Arrow, and it's more fun.
Or Scream Factory, for sure.
Yes, definitely.
That's a good comparison because they have the Art House and Fun House, Horror House.
Yeah.
So then we had Herschel Gordon Lewis's Feast. Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key, and that's one that I love. That's was that part of the Black Cat duo?
I think it was. I have the Black Cat on its own. I still need to pick up Your Vice is a Locked Room. Okay. What a great title.
I know. I love some of those Italian titles. A Reanimator, Ludwig, Pulse, The Conformist, Sisters, Death Walks Twice, two films by Luciano Ercole, and then The Black Cats, and then Withnall and I, Female Prisoners. Well, they said Out One, but it's really the Rivette set.
Yeah.
Stray Cat Rock, American Horror Project, Phantasm Box Set, Yoshida's Law of Anarchism, Blood Rage, Forbidden Zone, and then somebody put Children of the Corn. Hold that thought.
Who voted for Children of the Corn and who voted for Blood Rage?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. It's on. You can follow the link and you can shame them if you want. We'll get to Children of the Corn here in a second.
Okay. I'm going to give Blood Rage credit for being the only Thanksgiving slasher movie I can think of, but that movie is maybe not good.
It's horrible. I agree. I bought it because it got a lot of buzz, and I think that was another limited edition. And yeah, I watched it. I was like, what? People want this?
It's funny because sometimes, like, even like the really bad ones, like Blood Rage, it's still kind of fun because it's just like, hey, look what they did for this. I can't think of a movie that makes the same bad joke about it's not cranberry sauce multiple times.
As my grandma used to say, the first time it's funny, the second time it's silly, the third time it's a spanking. So Arrow, whoever made Blood Rage, you should be spanked.
The only problem was it wasn't funny the first time.
Okay, so grandma was wrong. Grandma would not have liked Blood Rage for a lot of reasons. All right, well, let's get to the new and the recent and upcoming releases. So I'm not going to list these out, and also because it's not comprehensive, I probably missed a few. It's really hard to find the recent and upcoming releases. So Arrow, please get on that. So I'll just mention some, and again, I'm not parsing these out for U.S. only and U.K., so you know, buyer beware, do some research. They have Jean-Luc Godard and Gorin. Five films, so this is kind of later Godard in the 60s. It's a box set.
Buyer beware if you want to see crazy, political, non-entertaining films.
Then Don't Torture a Duckling, which I wasn't going to get this, but a lot of people seem to love this.
Oh, this is a great I have it on my shelf. I still need to put the disc in, but this is Lucio Fulci. It is one of his most logical films.
I'm going to get that. Next sale or next time I go to do. That's one thing. Also, when you buy from the Arrow store, you have to spend a certain amount. I forget how much it is because it changed. And you get free shipping. And free international shipping is nice.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
They used to do it for everything, which was great. I've just like, it probably was not great for them. I probably cost them some money. Sorry about that, Arrow.
You're the reason they had to change the rule.
Then the big Reanimator, U.S. only. So this is an example where, so the U.K. people might be pissed off, but they couldn't get the rights. So they went all in, did a U.S. version. I actually kind of wonder how many U.K. people went region free because of Arrow U.S. Because this does happen. And this is a huge box set for Reanimator. I haven't bought this yet. Have you?
I have not bought it either, but it looks very nice.
And then there was Bride of Reanimator, and probably Blood of. That might be a good movie.
Yeah, the third in the trilogy. I think they may have made a third one. Don't quote me on that, though.
Did they? Okay.
I feel like those 80s horror movies have like 7 sequels you've never heard of before.
Yeah, a lot of them direct-to-video, and in fact, Children of Corn, I think they had like 5 direct-to-video sequels.
I feel like they're still making sequels to that movie.
I think they are. Day of the Jackal, and then Kill Baby Kill is a pretty big one that I haven't got yet. I might get that with Duckling. And then you already mentioned Fish Called Wanda. They did their own One-Eyed Jacks, which came out, so if you did not want the Criterion... And they did a Phantasm set. Pretty sure this was UK only, 1 through 5.
Yeah, someone else got the US release rights to that. It might have been Shout Factory.
It wasn't, and I bought the US version. So, yeah, shame on me. There's some others. The Untamed, Legend of the Holy Drinker, The Ghouls, Suspicious Death of a Miner. Any of these jump out at you?
The only one from the recent releases that I've picked up is Don't Torture Duckling, because I can't resist Fulci.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, and there are probably some I forgot. Please let us know if there's anything that's awesome out there that we did not list, but it's really tough to find this stuff. Even like going to Amazon and searching Arrow Video by recent, just too much stuff, too much noise. Then upcoming Arrow stuff. Do you want to take a couple?
Sure. Well, obviously, we already kind of touched on The Thing, which has like 5 different versions.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. I'd say that's like their biggest... Like, The Thing is a huge movie within the horror community, rightfully mm-hmm. so. I think that's probably my favorite John Carpenter movie. And I think it's amazing that they got the rights. And is this UK only or is this US as well?
I think this is UK only, but UK. Don't quote me.
Yeah, because I know that I ordered it from Amazon UK because it was, and I have a good excuse because it was sold out on their own website by the time that I got there.
Yeah, they had some website problems too. Yeah, Arrow, you guys need to work on a couple things, but we still love you.
Mm-hmm.
There's also on that their Arrow Video blog, they put some notes up on the restoration of The Thing just recently. And so I'll put the link in the notes. Skim that. It's 4K and it's a brand new transfer from the actual film. It's the first time. So if you have another thing, it might not be as good. Although it sounds like it might be controversial. So we'll see.
Yeah. I'll go into some other upcoming ones. We also have some films from George A. Romero. I forget the exact ones on here. Do you remember if Martin is included in this? Because Martin, I would totally get the set for Martin.
I don't think so. I'm going to Google it. I think that one was left off.
Yeah. Martin deserves some sort of release. I could even see that going Criterion, honestly.
This one has Season of the Witch, There's Always Vanilla, The Crazies, and that's it. So no Martin. But I think somebody said Martin was coming. I thought I heard that. I could be wrong.
I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Then we also have some Suzuki Seijun. Is that how you say his name?
I think you're supposed to, but everybody says because we're American.
It's Seijun Suzuki. That's right. I got his name backwards. There's a couple sets of his. There's a new one coming out. Seijun Rising. His films are crazy. I would totally pick that up.
That's early films, right? Like before.
I think so. I think so.
Okay.
It's funny because with Arrow
Before Tokyo Drifter.
I always look at like, oh, that's coming up. I got to get that. Oh, yeah. That came out a month ago. I haven't gotten it yet.
How many of those have you watched?
my budget just, it can only handle so many boutique labels, and I'm at capacity, but I do need to splurge more on these Arrow Video stuff, especially going through
they're good right now. Well, I bought the Taisho trilogy, which came out, I think, earlier this year.
And that's strictly Arrow Academy, correct?
That is. And that's later Suzuki. So that's, I think it was like 90s. And that's one I haven't watched yet, but I heard good things.
Hmm, interesting. Mm-hmm. We also have Family Values, three films by Kurita. I don't even know what that is. I just know that it's on this list. So I clearly missed that announcement.
Oh, really? You don't know Kurita?
Who is Kurita?
He has a film in Criterion, Still Walking.
Oh, okay.
He also did Nobody Knows. After the Storm is the most recent. Let's see. Our Little Sister, Afterlife, Like Father, Like Son. Great films, but definitely art house. This is very much, but if you would love them. If you like art house Japanese films, or yeah, they would be up your alley.
I'll check
it out. Like Still Walking?
I haven't seen Still Walking yet. That's one of the few Criterion Blu-rays I have not picked up yet.
I would say that Nobody Knows and Like Father, Like Son are two of the best movies since the 2000s.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if they're on this set. After the Storm is, that's the most recent. And keep talking. I'm gonna research this.
Okay. So we also have some Sasha Guitry films coming out. I like Sasha Guitry, so I would look into that. The big one on this list that I'm excited for is Carrie, because Carrie is great.
That's a big one. Yeah.
I need to pick that up still. They typically do a sale in December. That's probably when I'm going to snag that one.
And that's a good crossover. I think The Thing, too, crosses over into horror and art house fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard not to like The Thing and Carrie.
Yeah. It's just so good. And I mean, with Carrie, it's Brian De Palma. Brian De Palma's great.
Right.
That's probably the biggest crossover point between Criterion and Arrow Video, because obviously Criterion is an art house label with Brian De Palma, and Arrow Video is the schlock label also with Brian De Palma.
Right.
Then other things we have, obviously we've talked about The Apartment. I still need to pre-order that. And we also have the Eric Romare collection, which I have to assume, considering that he's known for his schlock movies, is also going to Arrow Video.
Yeah, I think that's going to be packaged with Blood Rage.
Yeah. Eric Romare's original Blood Rage.
Let's see. So, Like Father, Like Son, I Wish, and After the Storm are on the Kurita set. So it's worth it just for After the Storm is good. It's not as good as Like Father, Like Son. That's one where it's a great family drama. Somebody, their babies are switched at the hospital. And so, and they discover this after they're already kids. And so they have to switch families and there's different classes. One's a lower class, one's an upper class. Hmm. Brilliant movie.
That sounds really good. This podcast is probably going to be the most expensive podcast I've been on, considering how much I want to pre-order right now and just order.
Yeah. Well, there's some others, too. Departures is a pretty good. I think that's Japanese, a violin movie. And there's four film noir classics. Yeah, they have a huge fall and winter here.
Yeah, too huge.
They have, yeah, I know, too expensive.
Slow down, guys.
Le Plaisir, that's Opals, isn't it? Yeah, that's on Criterion. And so, yeah, I'll just tell you what I did for a Blood Feast, which is from that Herschel Gordon Lewis. So if you don't want to buy that big, you know, if you want shelf space, buy the individual titles.
Well, you could turn that Herschel Gordon Lewis into a new shelf.
Yeah, you could. You just buy a shelf for that one disc.
Yeah.
And then they had the house releases I mentioned. They have The Incredible Shrinking Man, which is great. But I think I have a suspicion that could be Criterion.
That's pretty high profile.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of like Cat People. There's some art, maybe not as art house as Cat People, but it's in that direction.
And it's written by Ray Bradbury, isn't it?
Could be.
I only have that on the mind right now because I've been like marathoning The Twilight Zone recently.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. I kind of feel like that fits in that regard.
It might be. A Miracle Mile is another one that's I already have the U.S. I think it might be Kino. But yeah, their December, I believe that this is just the Arrow Academy December because Arrow regular is Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
So their December lineup might be the best Arrow Academy lineup ever.
Probably.
It was Lost in Paris, which is new, and it's supposed to be Tati-like. The Apartment, which is coming out in both UK and US, I think. Or maybe just US.
No,
I don't know.
The Apartment is in both places.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The Eric Romare collection, which is, oh boy, I can't wait. That could be the release of the year for me. Amour Fou, which I thought was the Rivette film, L'Amour Fou. So what I did is when I saw that that announcement, I went ahead and bought all four.
Oh, my goodness.
It was pricey. I got some points.
I think Arrow Academy ousted Criterion in terms of a better December lineup.
Oh, without question. Yeah, they even with the Olympics set, I think this might be better because the Romare. So yeah, hopefully the Amour Fou is going to be good. I guess it's a newer film that I blind bought it. But yeah, which of these are have you ordered or plan to order?
I haven't ordered any yet, but I'm definitely getting The Apartment. The one that you said is Tati-like, I'm probably going to have to get. And I'm kicking myself for forgetting to pre-order Carrie earlier, so I'm getting that as well. I know that's Arrow Video, not Arrow Academy.
Oh, it's still worth it. I can't remember if I've ordered Carrie or not. I think I have. I'm not saying that Lost in Paris is as good as Tati, or you know, of course it's not. But I've heard it's in that vein. I haven't seen it yet.
As long as it's in that vein, that's enough to get me to buy it because I want more Tati in my life.
Well, we're running long. Imagine that
never happens on your podcast, Aaron.
I know. So we still have Pulse and Short Takes to talk about. So I hate to give short shrift to Pulse, but let's treat it like a short take if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I think this is interesting. We're talking about this because you happened to send me Pulse because I won it with the Criterion Now contest for the July Barnes & Noble sale picture thing by cheating.
So we both have pretty cool stories for Pulse. Had you seen it before?
I have seen it before. I saw this. When I went to Drexel, I took a class on horror films. And this is the first movie we watched, and this is probably one of the first Japanese horror films, like traditional Japanese horror films that I had seen.
Like J-horror?
J-horror, yeah, that like 90s, 2000s reign that they had. And I thought that it was cool and creepy and had a lot to say, and it's just a really awesome movie. So I'm really happy to see it's getting awesome treatment by being put on Arrow Video.
And did you rewatch the new one yet? Or
I did. I rewatched the Blu-ray that you sent me. It looks great. I know that they've had some issues with some transfers of Japanese horror films, notably Dark Water. I think that's probably why that got delayed so long, because it was supposed to come out in December of last year. Finally came out July of this year, and it's still really hard to find. Cause it just
Yeah, I have it, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just bragging here. I didn't know it was delayed. I think I just ordered it and it arrived.
Well, which are you bragging about? Because we both have Pulse, and Dark Water itself is easier to get. It's the Pulse thing that just kept getting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Dark Water.
No. Pulse was it kept getting pushed back.
I think now it's easier to get, but yeah, it was delayed in. I think the original UK release was delayed a little bit, but it still came out before the US. And then the US, I think I ordered it from Amazon, and I already had the UK version. And then the Amazon just kept on not being shipped. And I think it took about 2 months for it to arrive.
Yeah.
So, well, I have a story with this one.
Go ahead.
I actually saw this in, I think it was 2005, at a film festival. Blind, completely not knowing who Kiyoshi Kurosawa was. I think I didn't know Kurosama. I'm glad it wasn't his pieces of crap. I probably watched like three films that day. That's, you know, I had film festival butt, and it was the evening, and I took my wife to it, and she didn't know what was going on either. And actually she we're lucky our marriage survived because she hates this movie. It's not for everybody. It's a slow burn. And the horror is very subtle. It's not like shock horror.
No, it's creepy.
It is creepy. So and, I watched it.
Oh,
I was blown away. And so that's actually a great point about the transfer. So when I watched it in the theaters, what stuck with me was that it was a color film, but it really had this black and white sensibility, and it, you know, the colors are muted, and you kind of see that on the DVD, but it doesn't look anywhere as beautiful. I think it really was meant to be shot and presented on film, which is unfortunate because it didn't really get a release. It toured America, I think festivals, and maybe it had a small New York LA opening in 2005, but it was actually a 2001 film. It just took a while. I think Miramax actually toured it, which is...
Oh, jeez.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that, speaking of horror.
Yeah.
This is at now the third time I saw it, and it did hold up. I think some of the camera movements, the tracking shots, and there's a lot of tracking shots, are just tremendous. I remember the library scene in theaters. That's where those muted colors really stood out in theaters. I didn't notice it as much on video, but so yeah, some of the beauty is gone, but it still has the creepiness and, of course, the themes of alienation, technology, and I just think the monsters are scary.
Way they move is so creepy.
That little swivel that lady does, just remember.
That still just makes my hair stand on end watching it. And I've seen it 3 times now. And that part just always, it's almost like it's downhill from there because I'm just waiting for that one moment.
I know. And I rewound it. It's awesome. And so when I saw it in theaters, and I wish more people had the opportunity to see that for the first time in theaters because, yeah. All right, it's a pretty slow movie. And I think some people were falling asleep. But by the time that lady shows up, there was a collective gasp.
Yeah.
People were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the later, there, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's another ghost later in the movie that's also scary,
mm-hmm.
In a different way. But yeah, she does a little, she kind of falls, but regains her composure. Scary.
It's,
and a slow walk.
Yeah. I think it's also shot in slow motion. They're definitely doing something to make the movement seem exaggerated and weird. And mm-hmm. it's probably just like a weird mime-like performance that just really makes it like ventures into that uncanny valley of human movement. It just makes it so weird.
Actually, the features, the supplements shared some of this. She was actually a dancer of some sort, and that was her movements. They didn't do anything.
Cool.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
That is so cool.
Kudos to a lady actress who I'll never know your name, but
she probably has the scariest dance routine you've ever seen.
She's awesome. And of course, I was also wondering how dated it would be. So it was 2001, so it was basically dated by the time it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a teenager who doesn't know anything about the internet. So
it's played up as a joke, I think. It's like, oh, who knows how to work these computers?
I know. Oh, I agree. Yeah, click, click. Of course, nowadays you have cell phone technology and social media. This is very much a commentary on social media, which was really in its infancy. I think you had like message boards. Did you even have MySpace back then?
No, maybe Japan had. I think MySpace was a couple of years after this.
Yeah. We're in these communities, but we're alienated. So, are you alienated, Dave? You're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm talking to you through Skype right now. But
right.
I might just stand by that wall and fade away.
You might. We'll keep talking. I'll try to keep you engaged. And then the last third of the movie takes a big jump, and I won't spoil it because if you haven't seen it, go in blind. Just know it's a slower burn. Be a little patient with it. I'd say it pays off, and I'd say it's one of the best Japanese horror examples out there.
I think it's my favorite of that time period. The Grudge might be my number two, but this is definitely my number one.
I like the Ring movies too, even the American. That's one where the American adaptation got it right. They did an American adaptation of Pulse, which I tried.
I can't remember if I've seen the American adaptation. I just remember being like, oh, they're doing this one now.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah, you're not missing anything. So that's Pulse. I could say a lot more about it. Go get it. Buy it if you can get it. So amazing. Did Jess like it?
No. Jess had seen it once before, years and years and years ago, completely forgot it. We watched it again, and she fell asleep. And then afterwards, she's like, I remember why I don't remember this movie, because I didn't like it.
Yeah. So your wife might not like it if your husband, you know, I don't want to be insensitive to genders here, but
it's definitely not for everybody. It's a acquired taste.
Mm-hmm. I guess we've technically conducted a poll among two wives, and they hated it, whereas their husbands loved it. So there you go. Maybe not the best sample size. All right. So, well, let's talk about some short takes. Do you have one, Dave?
I do. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite acquirements of the Arrow video lineup. I'm surprised it's not an Arrow Academy, because I think many would call this an art house film. Hell Comes to Frogtown. Starring the great late Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Wow, really?
Yes. It is set in a post-apocalyptic future in which many human beings are now infertile. But guess what? Roddy Piper, he is very fertile, and he has become a very needed asset by the government. And obviously everyone wants to sleep with him because he's fertile. But he needs to sneak into Frog Town because I guess there's mutant frog-like people now, and they've stolen some fertile women, and he needs to go and rescue them. And I'm pretty sure his name is like Johnny Hell or something. I can't remember his actual name. And literally the movie turns into Mad Max Fury Road.
Wow. Okay.
Like you can watch and be like, hey, wait a second. This is literally, because at the end they're just driving away with like the harem of women that they stole. And they're being pursued by this giant frog monster, and it's so wacky, and it's played tongue in cheek, but it's actually a lot of fun. I would recommend this movie to everyone, even with the really terrible frog costumes. It is lovely.
Sweet. Well, guess what? I just pre-ordered it or pre-ordered. I just, added it to my cart.
As you should.
I'm going to transact on a podcast. It's not the first time, but I'm buying that one, and Kill Baby Kill and Don't Torture a Duckling.
Excellent.
Hopefully I have points.
Excellent. Yeah,
this is great podcasting right now, isn't it?
It's very thrilling. They're
at their edge of their seat wondering if I have enough points for this purchase.
I know I'm wondering.
That's one thing. Oh, I can't get free shipping.
Gotta buy one more.
Shouldn't be. Oh, it's $49.97. Damn it. Okay, I'll come back to this. That is not cool, Arrow. So I guess it's £50. £50 and you get free shipping.
I think you can rack up £50 pretty easily on their website, depending on what you want to buy.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's really easy.
It's a little too easy.
If I use points, I would get about $20 off or £20 off the my order.
Oh, wow.
Well, I do want that. I think you sold me. I might wait for a sale.
The sales are great. Obviously, you can't use the points during those, but you get double points during the sale.
Yeah. And they have a great Black Friday sale. So we're almost there. We're like a month away. So
November's a rough month for the boutique label directors. Collectors.
Yeah, maybe I should save my money. Okay, you did not hear podcast history. No, I totally botched shit on the podcast. Well, my short take is Children of the Corn. There was, I guess, a pricing error on the U.S. version. I think this is U.S. UK. And so I think it got down to like $10 or $12 on Amazon. So I thought, you know what? I sort of have fond memories of seeing this on – this was a mainstay on cable. And I remember being pretty spooked by Isaac and Malachi. So, you know, $10, I'll give it another try. See if it holds up.
I already know where this is going.
It does not hold up. Boy, this movie's terrible.
It's such a bad movie.
It is horrible. I had no idea.
I've only seen it once. I was like, why do people like this?
Well, I was really freaked out by those two characters, Malachi and Isaac. As a kid, when you see this, you know, those are some menacing kids. And I think you can identify better as a kid. Not so much, and like really in every way imaginable, it's a bad movie. Yeah. Bad special effects, bad acting, bad story. And logic, too. I mean, it's not that you want like every horror movie in the world to make sense, but... Yeah, come on. It's basically Lord of the Flies goes to Nebraska and
scenic vista of Nebraska,
and they all get axes and knives, and yeah, it's terrible. So I guess I enjoyed watching it again. That's the thing with Arrow, is it can be terrible, and I'm still glad I own it.
It's a real crapshoot. I think that's probably why I'm a little bit more willing to rent some stuff. But then there's things that I...
It is a crapshoot, Dave. Pun intended.
But then there's things that are just like brain damage. Like, this movie's so goofy, I kind of need to own it.
Is that worth it? I haven't bought that yet.
It is so bizarre. I saw that at a 24-hour horror-thon at like 4 in the morning. It blew my mind at that time because it's just so ridiculous. I definitely would recommend it. I'm not saying you're going to like it, but I definitely recommend it.
There are a lot of those. And again, Happiness of the Katakuris. And another one I was going to watch for my short take, but I didn't get to, was Forbidden Zone. So I'm glad you haven't watched Children of the Corn, or the new one. But so apparently that one is also kind of like a bonkers movie. That I've yet to see. So does Jess like Children of the Corn?
No, we are in agreement that it is not good. The only interesting thing about Children of the Corn is that the main character looks exactly like our friend Jeff's dad. We had to pause it and take a picture and send it to him and be like, what's your dad doing in this movie?
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then the female lead is Terminator, Sarah Connor.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, I think it was around the time she shot, she might've been shooting this right before or right after she shot Terminator, which is pretty cool. Now, I'd say she was one for two in terms of role choice that year, but I think it was the same year. I'm not sure. Okay, Children of the Corn. Buy it if you want, but I'm not. It's a bad movie.
Buyer beware.
I know that Jess kind of can like bad movies, so I'm glad that we're in agreement there. Does she like Blood Rage?
No. I can't think of a single time that we watched an Arrow video where we have not been in agreement of just like, oh, ooh, or yeah.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, we made it through the Arrow episode. Any final thoughts on Arrow that you want to share that we forgot? There's a lot here.
There is a lot. My brain's still processing everything. I don't even know. There's stuff that I still need to buy. I think of all the boutique labels out there that people should be supporting. If you're not going to support, or if you're already supporting Criterion, you need to add another addiction. I think the next one should obviously be Arrow Video.
I agree. Even if you just like the art house and not the horror, it's so good that it's worth it.
Yeah.
And those box sets, like I expect that Romare box set. If we did another episode 2 years from now, it would probably be pretty close to the top of my list. It's just my hope, but I have they generally, and you know, like the annual best of awards, the home media, they win those.
Yeah.
I think their Borovchik set, which sold out immediately, and it's going for like £1,000 now. You can't get it.
And Immortal Tales is actually the first Arrow video I've ever seen. And you know what?
It's
talk about bridging the gap between art house and smut.
Yeah, that's a great example. I've only seen two of his, and I forget which ones. The Devil
and Miss Osborne.
The Devil and Miss Osborne.
That was the first Arrow video Blu-ray that I bought, and I still haven't watched it yet. Still sitting on my shelf.
It's what you'd expect, and I also saw not the Beast. I think it was Immortal Tales. I don't remember it that well. I think
was it like a what's the word, like a anthology movie?
Yes.
Then that's Immortal Tales.
Okay, that's the one I've seen, and I thought they were okay. I see both the art and the smut, and that, so if you like either, you'll get both.
I still don't understand in Immortal Tales. Is she using a carrot? There's one little segment in which a girl is being punished by being sent to her room, so she decides to pleasure herself with a carrot, and somehow it comes out sliced, and I still don't understand that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't remember that, but...
may not have seen it then.
I may not have seen it. I should remember that. It might be another one. I haven't seen The Beast yet either. We kind of touched on that in the Gross Out episode.
Mm-hmm. And The Beast is based on an unused segment from Immortal Tales.
Really?
That he expanded to a feature, I believe.
Yeah, this is some of the good richness you're missing out on Arrow.
Exactly.
Sliced carrots. All right, well, we're done. We have Piece of Flair. Do you have a Piece of Flair?
Sure. Jess and I saw Happy Death Day last night.
How was it?
You know what? It's not good, but it was fun. I don't even want to say it's bad. Like, it's not a great movie. I'd say if you like horror comedies, definitely check it out. It's far more comedy than it is horror. I think it could have dealt with being rated R simply so we could get rid of all of the annoying teenagers that were in our audience. and so there could have been some more creative, gruesome deaths. But it's not really about the deaths. It's more about the story. But it worked overall. I'd say rent it so you don't, again, have to deal with annoying teenagers being in your audience. But outside of that, not bad.
Yeah, and probably it'll probably have legs and do well up until Halloween. So and yeah, those teenagers will be there for that. Well, I've been catching up on some new movies on demand and Blu-ray. So I watched A Ghost Story and Baby Driver.
Ooh.
And a certain somebody talked up Ghost Story pretty high. Dude. And I liked it a lot. I don't know that I liked it as much as you, but I liked Baby Driver a lot.
Baby Driver is great.
The style, the music, really, and I went to high school in Atlanta, so it's kind of cool to see Atlanta in a movie that prominently. So yeah, both of those, and it's not saying much because I haven't liked a lot of 2017 too much, but they're both near the top for the year. They might be at the top, although there's a certain movie called The Florida Project that my expectations are pretty damn high for.
My expectations are high for that as well. Now, here's my question, because this kind of threw me for a loop. Have you seen Blade Runner 2049 yet?
Not yet, no. I know people are going to reprimand me, but I'm going to wait for video.
That's I say go out and see it.
Well, I want to rewatch Blade Runner with it.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe I'll take your advice. I don't know. I'm probably going to get a lot of comments saying go see it, Aaron.
It really blew me. It really surprised me. It's my number two of the year so far now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's so long, though. That's the thing. It's like 2.5 hours, right? Or longer.
A little longer. It's like 2 hours, 45 minutes.
That's like 3 Ps, Dave.
I know.
No, probably one if I time it right. But it's definitely going to be one. All right. Well, we're done. And so you can find the show at Criterion Cast on Twitter. The Facebook group, search for Criterion Now and you'll find us. We have a lot of fun there. Where can people find you, Dave?
You can find me on Twitter at Cinema versus Dave. That is Cinema vs. Dave.
And that's it?
That's it. My okay. Blog, I haven't updated in over a year right now, so just find me on Twitter. I'm pretty active there.
You tweet a lot. Yeah, I need to tweet more. But I'm AWest505 on Twitter. I tweet occasionally, and I just read Dave's tweets and respond to them.
Yeah. That's fine. That's all you need to do. That's all the Twitter's there for, is talking to me.
There you go. And if Jessica were here, she would say to follow Dave.
Yeah, she's not really an active social media junkie like I am.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I followed her, and I don't think I've seen a tweet because my tweets are... and I don't think she followed me back, and I'm fine with that. Because she only follows drag queens, right?
She follows others, but I think because she's like, what's the deal with Twitter? And I said, you can follow people if you're interested in. And it's like, you like RuPaul's Drag Race? Follow drag queens. So she followed drag queens. But still, it didn't hold her interest long enough.
I need to put on a wig and some makeup, and then...
There you go.
Actually, I'm not on Twitter enough to even notice, so... All right.
It would be noticeable if you did that, though.
It would be. Maybe... yeah, okay. It might happen.
Yeah.
I sense a hashtag.
Yeah.
All right. That was a great show. How much money is this going to cost us?
Thousands in the long run.
Oh, I was talking about between me and you, but I think between the audience, it could be tens of thousands,
yeah.
If not... If
the thousands was me and you.
It could be thousands, me and you, but I'm going to wait for the sale and use my points. So, all right. Pleasure talking to you, Dave, as always.
You
we'll have
as
to
well.
Talk again soon.
Exactly. Maybe about this other boutique label I've heard of. Are you familiar with Criterion?
Yeah. We didn't say really hardly a thing about Criterion.
I know. And there's a potential flash sale this week.
Yeah. So, if we were talking about Criterion, we would probably talk about maybe that and maybe Silence of the Lambs coming out. But we're not talking about that. So
yeah.
Next week,
boring.
A whole bunch of that.